And yeah, the no water was nothing to do with any system other than ours that sprung leaks. And
oh gosh.
And Spence was here till 1:30 this morning trying to fix them.
Did Nick get off the lake okay?
Yeah, he called Vance, and Vance went to the rescue off the river. They were on the Columbia.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Up against the bank someplace with a bunch of kids.
Oh wow.
He was out there with the kids alone. Christy wasn't even. I don't think Christy was with him. I don't know. I can't keep track of what they're doing. All I know is Denny water skied his guts out and came out with Charlie horses last night.
Oh.
I said,
and was that water skiing?
Oh yeah, that was. I told him. I said, well, that tells you you haven't been taking your calcium regularly. I told you to get regular again. And so he's going to put it by his toothbrush instead of in with the other vitamins. You know, even when you get good at doing stuff, you just go backwards sometimes. I heard Betty come on.
Yes, I did. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Betty.
Hey, Joanne, how are you?
Good.
That's good. No, go ahead.
No, mine's just personal. I don't need to be jabbering that stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I was a little late this morning coming on because I got all wrapped up in the Dr. Ornish, the spectrum that we started talking about yesterday. And so I was in the internet just going through some of the things that he had written in there. And, wow, it's quite a program he's got going.
Yeah, we were in a different program last night, weren't we, Joanne?
Boy, good one, too.
Who were you listening to?
Brian Clement. He's from Hippocrates.
Yes.
He's the director down there, and, you know, nothing wrong with Spectrum and Ornish's program. I mean, that's going to be much easier. Well, you know, I say that, but when you look at the way they put some of that stuff together and the simplicity of what he kept trying to tell his gal. I didn't listen to him because I wanted to go up and introduce myself, which was kind of stupid. I should have just been asking a question, but any of the questions I could have asked would
have arrived.
Would not be a benefit to other people at this point, you know. So I just didn't want to go there. I didn't think it was fair, even when there was people standing in line, because they're standing in line to ask questions and listen at the same time. So anyway, long story short, he was trying to explain to her. She wanted to know how to backpack, and she was not that much younger than I was, but she wanted to know how to do her hiking and eat raw. And get the nutrients that she needed with the least cumbersome amount of food. And he says, oh, that's simple. He says, all you need is a couple of pounds of seeds. And he says, you could hike for, you know, days and days on that. And she says, well, how do you sprout them? And he says, well, you use these, I thought he called them wire, something else. But anyway, it didn't make me think that at first that they were the bags, like just what I was talking about. But they are, because I've looked at the sprouting bags that are already made up. And he says, when you go to bed, you soak them in water, let them soak, and when you get up in the morning, you hang them on the tree before you do anything else. He says, you pull them out of the water and hang them on the tree, and by the time you've eaten and gotten dressed, he says, you're ready to go, and your seeds are just the perfect dryness, and you just put them all in one bag. And she goes, well, I don't understand how you can do that. And so I heard him repeat it three times to her. And he says, it's the simplest thing in the world. Well, it is simple. I mean, if you only have to carry a few seeds with you and throw in and just keep replenishing your supply, you know, he says, I might have 10 bags in my little pouch that just has my seeds in it. Well, isn't it dripping wet and running all over your clothing? No, it's not dripping. I told you, you hang them on the tree, they dry out while you're doing it, and you're good to go.
She just closed her eyes.
the simplicity of it, you know, we'd be packing, you know, how much food that's been prepared and bagged stuff that's got sealed in these little nifty camp out bags, you know, for hiking and, you know, all of that kind of stuff is what the average hiker is going to be doing, you know. And so right. I'm going, oh, yeah, let's keep it simple. Did that turn it on? Are you checking? So anyway, I'll let you go for it. I'm going to put you on mute here because they're trying to get my water back on.
Oh, well, that's really an interesting thing, though, that you can live that long just using, you know, continuing getting everything you need out of just sprouting seeds. That's an amazing thing. And I guess the thing that I thought was kind of interesting with the Ornish situation was their program that they have. It's a good step in the right direction for people just beginning on this trek. But it's saying since January 2011, after 16 years of internet internal and external review, Medicare has been covering Dr. Ornish's program for reversing heart disease.
Pick up and listen to what she's giving right now. It's Betty. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Medicare has been covering Dr. Ornish's program for reversing heart disease under a new benefit category, and that category is intensive cardiac rehabilitation. So Medicare will reimburse certified providers of the 72-hour training program for patients who have coronary heart disease. Many private insurance companies are also cover this program, reimbursing for patients who have coronary heart disease and for patients who simply have risk factors for coronary heart disease. It says people are empowered with a proven program that can quickly reverse their heart disease and other chronic conditions, allowing them to sustainably transform their lives for the better. Overall adherence to Dr. Ornish's program after 1 year in hospitals and clinics that have offered it have been 85% to 90%. So I thought it was interesting that Medicare is doing anything along those lines to, you know, I have to stop and think again about that, what I just said, because nobody's doing anything as far as preventive, are they, as far as reimbursing with Medicare or any other hospitalization insurance. And so anyway, I guess this is still a step in the right direction,
but certainly not. Yes, they are. Yes, they are, Betty.
The preventative?
Well, yeah. When we went through the program totally free back in Maine twice, that's preventative.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that, Char.
Yeah, and people should be taking advantage of it. In fact, the doctor, he is a medical person, Ed, that you talked to last night, Danny. Well, tell him what you said to me.
What do you mean what I said about magnetic?
Well, not necessarily just about the magnetics. He's totally pretty ignorant on that field. It's kind of wow over the edge when Danny talked to him about that. But when he called, he's with the hospital and he called back east to talk to get the program. But you told me. Ed called the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted you to tell him.
Tell him.
Anyway, he called. He is in charge of the wellness division at the Adventist Hospital here, and it's been now 3 years since I brought it up to him. At least it was at one of the first expos that we were, VegFest we went to, and he got around to calling. He didn't get a hold of the guy that we were under back there, the director that we sat, that lectured a good portion of the time himself, had gone through school with Ed, the one that's in charge of the wellness program at the hospital here. And when he found out it was, he then knew where his friend was that he'd been in college with, medical school, He says, oh, I know him. I've wondered what's happened to him. And when I told him what he was running, he finally, this year, got around to calling and collecting the information on him. And then what did you tell him to do, Denny?
Oh, I told him he should go back to this, go back through it, really get a feel for it. And he says, yeah, I know I should.
And, you know, the thing was, I know that when we were in the programs, there were, you know, what you could call interns, people that had been sent there just to collect the information from other facilities and get more out. And when Clement, Joanne can attest to this, when Clement was speaking, his wife especially said, you guys, it's refreshing. This is where we gain our strength, is to come out here to Portland and see what you're doing and what, how you put the movement ahead for eating healthy and doing these things that, that our body needs. I will put one plug in for wheatgrass that I saw on the paperwork that I came home with. I don't think they said it. Maybe they did and I missed it. They talked so fast I couldn't even take notes. But they, 3 pounds, it takes 1 ounce of wheatgrass juice has, is equal to 3 pounds of vegetables.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that just doesn't allow me to quit on what I'm doing.
Well, it was interesting how Tim got up and talked about his mother. She didn't want to be talking about it, but Tim got up and spoke about his mother, how she'd been poo-pooing the idea, boo-boo-boo. And after 2 years, she finally broke down and started doing the system, and she was on all this medication and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And her, all of her accounts went like 180-degree turn. She lost 20 pounds and just went on and on and on how her whole life had changed just because of taking the wheatgrass. Well, and changing her diet. So
yeah, it was a combination, and I guess she's here in Portland. Is she here?
Oh, she's up in Hermiston.
Oh, that's right. She lives on a farm still.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But anyway, you know, it, people at any age will make the change. And he told, he was a junk food addict. I mean, he was on dope. He was on, he was smoking grass. He said, I was smoking grass and 2 packs of cigarettes a day, and there was no way I was, this is the director of the facility down there. And he was 50 pounds heavier. You know, and he said, and that was when he was young and when he started, I don't know how old he was when he started on this. I can't remember. I got a few dates down. But, you know, anybody can do it and see the difference. And they talked about their success ratio and how now he's got proof behind, scientific proof behind a lot of the things he talks about where, you know, a few years ago, he was just doing it by, and the same thing is with their Ornish. He's got the scientific proof. That's what makes it so outstanding, you know, when you see what was delivered on TV. Anyway, I'm taking too much of your time.
No, Char, thank you to both of you. That's great information for sure. And
it's not or the other. You can embrace all of it and use parts from, you know, the different ones because they're all saying the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know what seeds were they talking about keeping with you to eat and sprout.
Oh, a variety actually, but the ones that were easiest for backpacking were sunflower seeds.
Oh.
They're easier to sprout, and they do it in a shorter period of time with a higher nutritive value. In 12 hours, something like that. And see, sprouting to them doesn't mean that you've got these long sprouts coming out. It just means that they're soaked.
Can you buy those at, like in bulk, like at Winco or something?
Yeah, how about a 50-pound bag that I've got, Joanne? Don't go do that. You're local. I'll shoot you if you do.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you I'm well stocked.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm putting it on mute, Betty. I love what you're saying, and I want to hear what you have.
The violence comes out.
Oh, 50 pounds of sunflower seeds. That could last quite a while.
The birds don't get them, yeah.
Oh, yes, indeed. I think it's interesting, too, that what they consider sprouting may not be what we consider sprouting. Because that the first thing that comes to my mind is that, you know, the whatever seed it is beginning to pop out of the seed. So yeah, the idea of just soaking it so that you're starting that process kind of thing, and then letting it dry out to be able to be eaten is that kind of stretches my imagination a little further again.
It's a good thing to keep on hand, it sounds like, for a snack.
I think so too. It sounds great. And yeah, how simple is that? That you don't have to worry about it at all. You just let it sit overnight to soak and you're good to go.
Yep, I'm going to do that.
Me too. I've got the cookbook. I'll get back into them. I've got, you know, some of the really simple ones. And this is the best time of the year if you're going to do that kind of, you know, add a little more raw stuff to it if you don't want to do it, you know, the way they do it. I mean, they just do it. You go down there with a terminal disease, you're going to get the whole treatment. You're going to be thrown right into it. But the success ratio that they've had with people that have been given up for dead is unbelievable. I mean,
wow.
You know, that's why I want to go there is say, okay, you know, you want to live, go there.
Lindsay wants to go there too.
Does she?
She really did a turn on. She was real tired last night and didn't really want to go.
Yeah, we had to really hog tie her, didn't we?
We did. I said, well, Shar already has the tickets, and I said, you know, can't let her down. And she loved it. Absolutely was so thrilled, so that's good.
Gosh, she was supposed to be there.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I do like some of the things that Ornish says about foods when he says neither good nor bad, but some are more healthful for you than others. You have a spectrum of choices. So I assume that's where he came up with the name for his program at this point. So I thought that was a really neat way of saying that. Because based on the latest science, while recognizing the limitations of research, I've categorized foods into a spectrum ranging from the most healthful group 1 to the least healthful group 5, which was what we talked about yesterday with the chart that goes from 1 to 5. And 5 being the most indulgent is how he says it. Whether or not a food is healthful is not the primary determinant of how good it tastes, how fresh are the ingredients, where was it grown, local, organic, how processed is it, how skillfully was it prepared. You can make group 1 and group 2 foods that are good for you and also taste great and feel indulgent. Conversely, you can make group 5 foods unappealing if they're not well prepared. What matters most is your overall way of eating. I'm not saying that you should never consume foods from group 5 unless you have a serious health condition. If you indulge yourself one day by eating foods from group 4 or 5, spend a little more time in group 1 and 2 the next day. If you get on a diet, chances are you'll get off a diet sooner or later. For some people, being on a diet, any diet, is not sustainable. Even the word diet conjures up feeling restricted, deprived, controlled, all the manipulative fascist feelings that are not sustainable. In contrast, spectrum approach is all about freedom and choice. There's no diet to get on and no diet to get off. Nothing is forbidden. No thou shalt not. No you better. No guilt. No shame. No right. No wrong. The spectrum is based on love, not willpower. It's about feeling good, not just avoiding feeling bad. Joy of living, not fear of dying. Losing weight and gaining health. What's sustainable is pleasure, feeling good, and freedom of choice. I thought that whole thing that he had written on Spectrum was superb, and how it was written and what pictures it paints in your head. Any thoughts?
I think that's well said too, Betty. This is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Is this a new book, or is this one you're talking about has been out a while?
Yeah, it has been out a while.
I think it's 2007, Betty.
Oh. I think that's what was said yesterday. It was 2007 when it came out.
And I don't think he's got a revision on it. I didn't see anything on Amazon that showed a revision when I went in and looked at it. It was the same thing that I've had on my shelf that I've used a little bit, but not enough, that's for sure.
Yeah, going through some of these things that he has on his website, I haven't seen anything referring to any revisions either. So the 2007 book is what he's going from. Anybody have any thoughts or concerns? I was also finding something that is talking about 8 telltale signs you've eaten toxic food. It talks about there's 8 telltale signs that you've consumed some toxic food, and your symptoms need more than just cover-up medicine. In fact, your body needs organic food from now on. And one is if you have a migraine headache. Most headaches are the result of dehydration. Drink only natural spring water and stop consuming, or I would say our water, and stop consuming concentrated salts like monosodium glutamate, hydrolyzed soy protein, autolyzed yeast extract, and maltodextrin. Also, never drink water from the tap as it contains fluoride and bleach, which adds to dehydration and other chronic health problems. Another one is, if you experience inflammation or edema, are you retaining abnormal amounts of water? This could show up as weight gain. Do your hands and feet swell often? Are you consuming excessive animal protein, dairy, or GM wheat? What about refined sugars? Check the sodium levels in processed foods, especially ones you ate in the last 6 hours. Most doctors will not tell you that this is a dietary problem. Another indication could be vertigo or dizziness. This is usually an equilibrium issue in the inner ear, boiling right back to diet. Check your recent intake for MSG, aspartame, nitrates in meats, and concentrated sweets. Another one is you are constipated or you have diarrhea, stomach pains, acid reflux, or irritable bowels. Gluten is mutant GMO food, glue, and causes constipation. Gluten and artificial sweeteners can irritate your entire digestive tract and pollute your cleansing organs with synthetic toxins, which may never release. Your body knows when you've consumed these poisons and lets you know right away. Pay attention to the warning signs. Another one is, if you're breaking out with a skin rash, eczema, or psoriasis, check your concentrated sweets, gluten, GMO, pesticide-laden foods like corn and soy, and remember, the more processed food you eat, the more you break out with these skin conditions. Even typical medications like aspirin, cough syrup, and ibuprofen can be overdone and cause headaches and rashes. Another one can be if you're experiencing lethargy. Nothing slows down a human body faster than trash food. Any athlete will tell you garbage in, garbage out, which means if you eat nutrient-void foods, you will not have any energy. It's not complicated. Read more about organic food and superfoods and realize you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Get roaring on the highway of vitality. Another one is if you're caught in a massive brain fog, did you just drink some tap water? Did you just get a flu shot or a vaccine? Did you just eat something with aspartame in it? Did you just return from the dentist with a new mercury cavity filling? Did you just have some toxic pharmaceutical medication for anxiety, depression, or ADHD? Last one is you have no motivation and you are depressed. Everyone has heard the saying, you are what you eat. It's true. If you eat animals that live their whole life depressed, you will experience depression. If you eat pesticides, insecticides that make bugs sick, you will be sick. Know what's in your signs.
Somebody's got running water. Hello?
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 Running water?
I was hearing a little background noise there. Anybody have any thoughts about what I just read on the 8 toxic telltale signs you've eaten toxic food?
I recognize some of those in me when I eat stuff like that. Yeah, so that's a good checklist.
Yeah. Some of them I think we don't really connect at the time with having eaten something toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did you get that, Betty?
That was off Natural News.
Okay.
So I can probably attach that, Jeannie.
Okay.
When I put it on the blog today.
Okay.
So you'll have it.
Perfect. Thank you.
There's some subtle things there that, like I say, I don't know that I've thought far enough into to say I connected it with something I've eaten. There's other ones I know when I've eaten the wrong way, and I know what I'm dealing with has a lot to do, has everything probably to do with what I put in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of these things. So I don't know if you heard that, there was that, a free phone app called Fooducate. Fooducate, where you can scan the barcodes of every food product for toxins before you buy anything.
Oh, good. Fooducate.
Fooducate.com.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. I'll look that up.
Yeah.
So you scan the barcode with it.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
So, yes, then it's supposed to pop up, you know, the scanning it for toxins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll download that, and when I go to the store today, I'll see how it works.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know.
I will. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're a little past the half hour at this point. Does anybody have anything to talk about? Any recipe that they've done that they love?
Has arrived.
Okay. then I guess we'll just proceed along on with our day if nobody has anything else to say. And have a great one. Make it your best this week. Yes.
Thank you very much, Betty.
Yes. Thank you.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.